MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
South Africa's cannabis industry says it's being pushed to the brink. A new directive from the Minister of Health has banned the manufacture and sale of non-medicinal cannabis products. And that has understandably triggered outrage from businesses who claim they've invested millions and have followed all the rules. The Cannabis Trade Association Africa says it's now heading to court. And in that respect, I'm joined by its chairperson, Tebogo Tlopane. Tebogo, let's start with the basics and a very warm welcome to you. What exactly has been banned by the minister's directive?
Well, basically, the minister has banned, literally blanket ban, on any edibles that have hemp and hemp derivative, meaning that you're looking at your CBD, which is, you know, at your medicinal level. You're then looking at, from an edible point of view, looking at your proteins, protein that are coming out of hemp seeds. As you know, it's the most nutritious grain there is in terms of the protein. I mean, the protein's got 9 amino acids. So when you're looking at about nutrition, that part is gone completely if the ban stays. And that affects the R&D work that's been done with CSIR, with many, many different companies that have actually produced amazing nutrition bars that can be, you know, provided for kids at school and so forth and so on. So these are the things that are actually being banned across the board, including anything that has to do with any derivative out of cannabis. So you see product being pulled out of stores, you know, major retailers and stuff like that. So it's a huge disruption into the industry. And it's an on goal we don't need right now, because we're trying to obviously formalize the industry and make sure that we extract as much as possible out of it.
Was this decision surprising to you? Was it dropped on the industry without warning?
100%. One thing that we noticed about this decision is that the signature of the minister was actually done in January. So there was no communication between January up until when it was actually published on the 7th of March. The whole industry is unaware of changes. Even, you know, we are assisting the government with the COVID master plan. The intergovernmental committees that have been set up to actually make sure that this cannabis master plan become a reality also was not even aware. So we don't know where this is coming from. And we've asked questions to find out where did it come from, what made it an emergency, because also you got to follow the process. And the due process, when you gazette something like this, there has to be public participation. The minister obviously has the prerogative to actually sign something like this into law, but there has to be an emergency. So they did state that it is an emergency. So we asked them, where is the emergency? What actually had happened so that we can have something that is so destructive as an emergency in a law, basically.
At this point, is there any engagement with government behind the scenes, or is this going to end up in court?
There's engagement, Jeremy, behind the scenes. We don't want to, you know, divulge what those engagements are, but there are engagements that are taking place. There's a lot of pressure that's been applied to the ministry itself, to the presidency as well, by various ministerial committees that are part and parcel. The leading department is the Department of Trade and Industry, led by Minister Pax Dau, which has actually been given this master plan. Now, the master plan, you can call it the Bible of how this industry should actually work, how this industry should actually be governed. How do we unlock the potential of this industry? I mean, we made a lot of examples in terms of what will look like when you have a fully fledged, legalized economy on cannabis. And we're looking at states like Colorado, where we've seen that they've collected up to trillion of rand in terms of revenue coming out of cannabis, because there's various level of taxes that can be applied. And none of the guys that are in cannabis, you know, are saying they don't want to pay taxes. We're saying tax it proportionately, making sure that there's money going to the fiscus, which is the whole point. Now, you've driven around, you've walked around, I'm sure you've seen, you know, all these stores that are popping up all over the place, whether you're talking Joburg or Cape Town or Durban, it's the same thing. But out of all those things, who's making the money? And I think when we have something that makes sense, then we can then be able to have government actually making money from that instead of increasing, you know, VAT as they've done now.
So let me ask you this then. What kind of investment and job losses are we talking about if this directive is enforced?
We're talking millions, Jeremy. We're talking millions. I think from the highest level in terms of looking at analysis for a typical company that actually imports, you're looking at guys that are sitting with inventory of millions and millions of rands. And you're looking at guys that are employing guys locally to pack and do all sorts of things. They'll also lose their jobs. So you're looking at staggering amount of people that will lose their jobs because of all this if this stays in the current course where it is. We hope that it doesn't. We hope that there'll be reason. We hope that there'll be some sort of a reprieve from the minister to say, look, we'll take it back so that we can allow this. Or even if there's a element of regulatory that the minister feels that they need to be doing, engaging with the industry is always the best way because then there's no disruption. We can then be able to advise on how this can be done. But this unilateral decision is not helping anybody. Doesn't help the country, doesn't help the minister, doesn't help the unemployment we have in this country, which is quite high. And our goal is to try to bring it down as much as possible.
What do you say to critics who argue the industry that you represent has operated in a legal grey zone for too long?
As you know, Jeremy, government always plays catch up with industry all the time. It is not just South Africa, it's all over the world. So what does that mean? That means legislation will always going to play catch up to obviously entrepreneurs that are making possibility of creating opportunity for themselves and their families and people around them. So the legislation must be there 100%. We understand that there's a catch up that needs to be done. We also, as I said, assisting the Department of Trade to actually formalize a cannabis master plan so that we can have some sort of a guidelines. It is important that there has to be some sort of a management of control of some way in terms of making sure that these products aren't lending to children, or even the packaging must be childproof packaging. All these things are guidelines that we ourselves are providing to those that are running social club model, which, by the way, it's protected by the law, with the Constitutional Court protects that, and the Cannabis for Private People's Bill also protects that. So you cannot stop that, but we need to obviously control and manage and make sure that there are ways in making sure that guys aren't selling these things to kids.
Just finally and briefly, do you see this then as a political issue, a regulatory issue, or just a misunderstanding by government of the potential of the cannabis economy?
There's no doubt about the potential of the cannabis economy. And the reason I say there's no doubt is because we have other countries that have started this 10 years ago. You've got Canada, you've got a few states in the US that are doing it. So there is data that we can draw from and see where the opportunities are going to be coming from and what we need to be doing and how do we make sure that we control the entire value chain, because the job creation is in the value chain, not necessarily the end product itself, from the cultivation, the processing, the preparations of all these products, packaging, and so forth and so on. That's where the money's at, and that's where we need to be actually putting focus on. So as far as that is concerned, we believe that this is a perfect industry for us to actually create jobs, which will also help the current fiscus with money, because there isn't any money. That's why they're going on increasing VAT. Whether or not they're increasing 0.5 this time around, the next time around 0.5, the fact of the matter that VAT is going to be increased. So what do we do then? So it's important that we look at opportunities like the cannabis economy and making sure that we nourish these things. There are people out there, Jeremy, that prefers to smoke cannabis as opposed to drinking alcohol, and you gotta, it's their choice, and we gotta make sure that according to the constitution that they have access to
Right.
that.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Teboho Tlopane, thank you very much indeed, Chairperson of the Cannabis Trade Association of Africa.